And here we go with some sort of regularly scheduled programming. I've started this sermon series on the seven principles of Unitarian Universalism, and we had scheduled to be doing the sixth principle today before we ever knew we would be on video. But here we go. The sixth principle is the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. I have to admit, this is the principle that usually feels least connected to me. It feels the most abstract, the most removed. This world community of 7.8 billion people. Okay, that was bound to happen. That's my dog Yuli. He's here with us too. So this community of 7.8 billion people, and I haven't even gotten a handle on Massachusetts yet. And I'm supposed to be in community with the world. Well, apparently, yes. World community. In the last month, my sense of connection to the 7.8 billion people living on this planet has gotten so much stronger. And that's mostly due to something that's debatably not alive at all. The new coronavirus emerged in Wuhan, China, and then spread all over the world, a little faster in some places than others. But we are undoubtedly in this thing together, just like Bob said. This is a world pandemic in our world community, and it has us rethinking everything. All over the world, people are calling for social distancing. And it's easy for us to think of this as a negative, this need to stay at least 6 feet apart, to not go into each other's homes, not touch, not transmit the virus. And I suppose it is a negative, but it's also a positive. Not the virus itself, but the act of staying apart to prevent its transmission. We are all doing something hard to protect ourselves and those we love, but also to protect people we've never met and will never meet. It feels like a prayer to me in the sense that I learned living with Benedictine nuns that doing hard things with intention is a prayer. So, when I stay physically distant from you, know that it's a prayer for your health and the health of everyone in the world. It's not just me, of course. We're doing this together, holding worship and meetings online to prevent the virus from accessing new hosts. And all over town, things are slowing down. For the first time in a long time, it's easy to find parking. The students are gone, the schools are closed. And around the state, around the country, and around the world, people are waking up to the message that the best way to show our love for each other is to stay apart. Of course, that's not the natural way for most human beings to be. We love our communities and it hurts to miss them. And the burden is greater for those of us like me who live alone, who don't have anyone automatically allowed in their 6 foot radius. I was chatting about this with another person who lives alone. And we thought that if you really can't make it without being near someone, you need to have a negotiation on what that person's understanding of distancing is, since you're essentially coming into contact with everyone they meet, or at least their germs. And realistically, families and roommates should have this conversation too, so everyone can be on the same page and comfortable with the distance protocol of the people who share germs with them. But on the whole world right now is organizing to protect our collective health. Chinese doctors who have seen firsthand how to fight this have gone to Italy, which is especially hard hit. People all around the world are setting up systems of mutual aid, peer to peer, to make up for the gaps in our institutional safety nets. And in Italy, the people are singing out their windows and off their balconies to connect their voices instead of their hands. It's a strange time. All over the world, borders are tightening or closing. We're used to our own tightening border restrictions, sadly, and our own punishing immigration system. But did you know that Switzerland has closed its borders for the first time since World War II? Borders are closing, but I haven't been more than 9 miles from my home since this whole thing started. So there's a worldwide pandemic, and nations' responses are to close borders. But we've seen that quarantines of communities are not effective because a person can transmit the virus long before they show symptoms. What does make a difference is the social distance protocol. 6 feet all the time, not touching contaminated surfaces, washing your hands all the time, not touching your face. In fact, stay home as much as you can. What it takes is each of us doing our part and acting as though we would not want to infect someone else. As though we already have the virus and are afraid of transmitting it, not that we're afraid of getting it. So now we have a world full of people learning that the collective good is actually in their own best interest. Even if it's not the most pleasant thing to achieve, this one's not standing up and chanting, "We're number one." It's more like gathering the whole world around a campfire and singing, "We're all in this thing together." I'm inspired by this quote from the Reverend Dr. Emma Jordan Simpson, who's the executive director of the Fellowship of Reconciliation. "We have been told over and over again by power that safety and security equals bigger weapons than the other guy, and we've spent an unspeakable amount of money on that lie. However, this worldwide COVID-19 pandemic shows us the truth. Our survival depends on fierce commitment to being citizens of the world, on investing in housing, food, healthcare, and healthy communities for every person. To follow this truth, to choose the people, we have to let go of the lie." Around the world, we are at a moment of a loss of human rights. Top-down quarantines have been too late in coming. Accurate information has been squelched for political control. The tight quarters of people imprisoned make it impossible for them to maintain a healthy distance. It's a rough time to be a human being out there. And also, we are learning how powerful we can be. Not everyone can stay away from work for as long as this takes, either because they work in a field where they're needed to keep us all alive and healthy, or because they need money. because poverty will make people more vulnerable to most problems. But we suddenly have a world of people poised to value the labor of food and transport workers, teachers, medical industry workers, not just doctors. In this country, we may just realize that healthcare is an actual human right. We may learn to take it slow, to use less fossil fuel, to spend time with the people we love, to value the elderly, to make accommodations for disabled people standard. We may learn that people need housing in order to stay home. This peace, liberty, and justice that are part of this goal of world community aren't the benefits. They're the roadmap. So hold your elected officials accountable. Build peace, one connection at a time. Starting with yourself, build networks of mutual aid, whether neighbor helping neighbor or one internet user to another halfway around the world. Question everything. How does this build a world that works as well for the most marginalized as it does for me? Is this accessible? Or more likely, in which ways isn't this accessible? And how can that change? Whose perspective isn't being listened to or taken seriously? That's where we start. Start with yourself and the communities closest to you, from your separate places. Start. Plant your seeds in the ground and your dreams in the sky. Taking care of yourself and those you love. Staying home. You are planting seeds of safety for all of us. We are not going back to normal. We are going for so much better.